supervisors will come back into session, reconvene. We are at item 6A, public request, Mid Klamath Watershed Council and the Western Klamath Restoration Partnership. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Luna Latimer. I'm the director of the Mid Klamath Watershed Council. It's a nonprofit that hosts the Orleans Soames Bard Fire Safe Council and the Happy Camp Fire Safe Council. And one of our most important jobs is to facilitate community wildfire protection plans for our service area. So there are two plans we're bringing forward that are in Siskiyou County: the Happy Camp Community Wildfire Protection Plan and the Orleans Soames Bard Community Wildfire Protection Plan. And both of those plans meet the requirements of the Healthy Forest Restoration Act. This is the federal legislation that gives this mechanism for communities to give the input into, you know, how we're preparing for wildfire in these at-risk communities. So both of the plans meet those requirements, which is to define the wildland-urban interface, to make recommendations for home hardening, and also to be collaboratively developed. So for the Happy Camp plan, this was a plan that was largely rewritten before it came to me, but then the Slayer fire happened, which was a major event there in Happy Camp. So we did update maps, updated the plan, went through another community review process, public meeting, extensively reviewed by CAL FIRE, Forest Service, incorporated those edits. And for the Orleans Soames Bard plan, it's been over 10 years since the last plan was written, so it was a full rewrite. We did extensive neighborhood meetings, also collaborated with the CAL FIRE, both units in this case, because it spans both the County of Humboldt, and that county has indicated they are prepared to put it on a consent agenda, also for approval. Same with CAL FIRE and the Forest Service. We brought it to the Fire Safe Council of Siskiyou County to make sure it's compatible with the other adjacent planning areas, that would get a lot of additional feedback. And we're bringing it forward to you here today. I feel like it really does represent the wishes of the community. Identifying projects adjacent to private property are ingress, egress, to allow for safe evacuation of these communities. And it's such an important process in allowing additional funding to come to these communities for wildfire protection. So they're over 100-page documents, each of them. It's hard to summarize, but that's the briefest summary. And if you have any questions, happy to take those.
Thank you. Supervisor Howe.
Thanks for reaching out to me to take a look at it. And I have to apologize that I had the best intentions in the world to review it before it got here. Right up until I was evacuated with Shelley Fire. but I had, you know, I had taken a look at it since, and honestly, it's probably one of the more comprehensive fire safety plans I've seen. It's comprehensive, it's detailed. A couple things in there that precautions, if you will. One of the things when it speaks of managed fire, and then it talks about the Klamath plan, and the plan. I know the plan very well, having worked with it for years. Managed fire today, practiced by teams, is not managed fire as it was conceived in 1992. Good examples have been managed fire was practiced on the Klamath, which I fully support from a forest ecology standpoint and a cultural perspective. It was define natural barriers, allow fire to move around, if you will, and only take actions where it threatened public safety or where you had to keep it within what was the natural range of variability of what a fire might do. That's not what I see practiced today by fire teams. They come in with some kind of an arrogance that says, well, to contain this fire, we have to burn out the whole perimeter. That's not what managed fire is. And I just caution you that when you do engage a team, and that language is in there, be cognizant of how they're perceiving that these days, because it, quite frankly, appalls me as a forester and as a retiree of the Forest Service. other than that, it's a great plan. It's very comprehensive, and I always support it.
Okay. Any other questions? Back to you.
I'll make a recommended approval.
Second.
Alrighty. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Absolutely.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 7A, Community Development. Good morning.
Good morning, Board and Chair. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. This item is pertaining to the renewable contract for the head fire cleanup. Last August 6th, board meeting, the award was awarded to SW Maintenance and approved by the board. At this point, we're looking to get the contract signed and move forward. Our goal is to have the notice to proceed occur on the 19th of August. And as of yet, we still have the purchasing department to review it for official approval to move on. So we're asking that the board give direction to our CAO to execute the contract when that is complete.
Got it. Questions? Not looking for action.
I recommend that approval.
Okay. Real quick question, though. It says on this to have the county administrator sign. I didn't get to double check the signature page. Is that how it's set up?
Yes, we did modify that.
Okay, so the recommended motion that's on here is the correct one. Thank you. I'm sorry, I missed the motion.
I made the motion.
Yes.
Recommended motion, yes. Okay. And our second?
Supervisor.
Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Thank you much.
Okay. Thank you. 7B, County Administration. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Kopsa, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Before you today is a resolution with a policy for encampment removal. And this is a direct result of the governor's executive order N-1-24, in which he encourages local jurisdictions to establish policies to remove encampments. Within the executive order, he used the California Department of Transportation. They have a maintenance policy directive 1001-R-1 and use that as a template, as a resource for agencies to utilize, to mirror that. And so we reviewed that directive and used that as a policy template for our resolution. So if you look at the two, it's almost identical. We just replaced state with county. And this resolution pertains to county-owned properties and county rights of way. And so with that, if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Supervisor Howe?
So, just county-owned property and rights of way.
Correct. So we had discussions with regards to that. Because I see your wheels turning. Initially, I was thinking unincorporated area, right? Siskiyou County.
Yeah.
However, our lovely county council in discussions recognized that we only have authority on county-owned properties and county rights of way. So, for instance, if in the county unincorporated area we have a private property who has an encampment that's being established on their property, this policy would not pertain to them. They would have to go through the normal channels of calling the sheriff and saying, hey, I have some folks starting to camp out on my property. Can you please assist me in removing them? As well as calling, you know, community development for their camping ordinance and what's the county's camping ordinance, but they enforce that. So there are policies in place for those that private land, and so that's why we had to narrow the scope, which also mirrors the governor's executive order as well as the Department of Transportation. It was very specific to what authority and ownership of each jurisdiction actually has. So.
So my other question, since we're discussing our discussion.
Okay.
What about when another jurisdiction threatens county property, say because of lack of willingness to do something and it creates a fire hazard or some other public nuisance?
Are you talking out of the scope of an encampment being established?
No.
You're talking about any...
Any encampment. I've
Well, any encampment could be...
And I know everybody's thinking the hill, but there's other places in the county.
And so within the policy, there is an assessment phase. After the assessment is completed, that then determines is it a priority one or priority two. Priority one is that there's imminent safety health hazard. For instance, encroachment on a county road where people could get hit because they're setting up tents and sleeping bags that are encroaching into a county right-of-way. That's when this policy would then be implemented. So I'm not sure where you're going with if it's another agency, but that's an example.
It's not another city, you know, that chose not to do something that threatened our right-of-way. What I'm thinking is encumbrances of fire ingress and egress on county roads. And that's where some of those jurisdictions could spill over onto us and the threat to public safety for that outlook. And then regarding that as well, I asked you some questions about the fire warden's role. And I'm concerned, I guess, because I think there is a county fire warden role in some of this, besides code enforcement, when it comes to identifying a threat. And I don't know if you see that or not.
Well, we have county departments that have been listed for their roles and responsibilities. So it's environmental health, the sheriff, health and human services, code enforcement. So they all have roles and responsibilities of when something is reported. And so if it rose to that occasion of, it would be an immediate imminent safety hazard if someone was having campfires on the side of a county road or a county bridge.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they started to encroach onto the county bridge, that would be something that would be a priority one that we would be able to identify and take care of.
One more question, and I'll try and quit making this something that isn't.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Why not? What about, in the western part of the county, we struggle a lot with unpermitted hip camps and those kinds of things. When does that cross the line into an encampment? Because quite frankly, I don't see the difference between it in some cases.
If there is an establishment of an encampment, which means... person's experiencing homelessness, somebody, you know, one or two people putting up tents or what have you on county-owned property or county rights of way, we would be able to utilize this policy.
Sure.
You may be referring to hip camping on private property, which would then, no, you're not.
Sometimes it spills over on private property.
If it spills over into county property, this policy would then be utilized.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Go ahead. Yeah, it fills the gap. I know private property, you have code enforcement, those sorts of factors filling that in, so this fills that gap of ways to give us the teeth that the right ways to set.
Correct.
Okay,
if
there's nothing else, what's the wishes of the board?
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve and a second.
Supervisor Hall?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cobsa?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 7. This is from last week. And C depends on, or D depends on C, correct? Council, do you want to give us just kind of a brief tee up here?
Sure. So the emergency command support
contract addendum was previously on the board's agenda. It was not passed. There was a vote of 2-2. As a matter of parliamentary procedure, for it to come back to the board again after not passing, one of the board members who voted no would have to make the motion to have the matter reconsidered. And Supervisor Ogren was absent from the meeting at which the contract was not approved, and so it is her request that one of the board members who are eligible, either Supervisor Hostetler or Supervisor Howe, make that motion.
Thank you. Now, I have several public comment on 7C, which is what we're talking about now on this motion. And I want to make sure that you want to talk now or on D, depending on what happens with C. So, Louise, did you want to talk now on this one?
On C.
On C?
Yes.
Which is the motion?
Yes.
Okay. You're up.
Louise Leona Wairika, good morning. I was here last time you had the meeting, and I listened to the county attorney, and she said you didn't have any policy in place in terms of when there's a 2-2 vote. And so she said she relied on Robert's rule of law. And my question is, why is this being brought up again today when the two people who voted no, when you have that vote, didn't change their vote? My understanding is, what the attorney explained, is that the people who voted no had to be the one to bring it forward. My other comment on that is, I don't know how many homeless they are. I have gone to city council meetings in Wairika, and I think that Dwayne Kaye, who's the person who's been assigned to this task, said there's approximately 200 homeless that we know of in the city and the county, and we spend an awful lot of time worrying about these 200 people and trying to find solutions for them and lots of money. And then here we are again, bringing it up again for something that I thought was settled with Robert's rule of law. And I think that we ought to maintain that, because if you give someone else preference, then you have to do it to another supervisor who maybe didn't like the vote, or maybe for some reason wasn't there to do the vote. So I'm asking you just to say no on this and to stay with Robert's rule of law. Thank you.
Thank you. Sheila Niamber. Good morning.
Good morning, Supervisor Sheila Niamber Montague. I'm urging you not to entertain a motion to reconsider the addendum to the Emergency Command Support Contract. The City of Wairika, at their last meeting, voted yes on the first reading of the homeless encampment issue, which you are probably aware of. I think on the second reading, it may pass. Therefore, if that happens, the Emergency Command Support Contract addendum under consideration will no longer be performable. And I'm not sure if those that have to bring it up that voted no, that is what their intent is, but I am stressing that you vote no until you see what the City of Wairika Council is going to do.
Thank you. Melinda King. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Melinda King, and I'm here to speak in favor of the shower trucks.
So this is on the motion, but go ahead.
On the motion.
Okay.
Just a couple points. All right. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Bridge newsletter that goes out across some of the county sites, written from the perspective of the homeless. All right. Produce that. I am also considered, just because of my living situation, in an older RV, part of your homeless community. And you'll see me a lot up on the hill. I know most of them personally. I give them spiritual counseling. We do shaman work together, you know, things of that nature. There's a lot of workers and people that have worked extremely hard to try to bridge the gap in this community. And there is a huge gap and we've got to fix it. And I know if you listen to the scanner, y'all bear with me, I am not a public speaker,
okay.
I am a writer. If you read the grapevine, you see a lot of uneducated, we'll go with Trump's words, fake news, okay? Most of your homeless here have been here. They're locals. They don't need bust out. Nobody bust them in. They're locals. I'm probably one of the few that's not. But I had two grandbabies born here, so I'm going to have to fight on that. You know? They're our neighbors. And as humans, not as governing bodies, not as anything of that nature, but as humans, we deserve, I mean, that is our baths and clothes. It's just a human thing to do. We won't go Christian, we won't go anything. It's just what you do for your brother or sister in need, okay? So, first of all, I'd say that's why we keep them, okay? Second of all, we've got to bridge this gap because we've got more people that are coming homeless every day. They're not quite what y'all think they are. You know, everybody looks at that hill and thinks that it's a bunch of low-lives. Let's just go with that word, okay? Like drug users, so forth, so on. You're right. There are some up there. But there's a whole bunch of other people up there, too. You have elderly people. You have bedridden people with bed sores. You stop washing clothes. You stop doing baths. We're signing a death warrant. We did this last year to a man. I wrote an article about it if y'all want to go take a look at it. Clifford. Good man. Good man. Good-hearted man. And we lost him because of living conditions. Okay? So as humans, we need to do this. As a community, we need to do this. We've got to bridge this gap. We've got to start helping each other because I'll tell you what, the way it's going, we're going to need to help each other. We don't need to be community. And I don't care if you're rich or you're poor. That's just the way it is.
I need you to wrap up, please.
Yes. They've worked hard, these workers, to start bridging a gap. This was a good working program. It brought people in. It made a difference. And then we stopped it. And it's trapped workers being people mad at them because they don't understand money. And it's trapped your people back down in a lower level. We were rising. So, just remember that, and please, let's just be human and get it done.
Thank you. Looks like I have two on lineup. We'll go there in a minute. Luther Finley, I think he spoke earlier, or is he still here?
I don't believe he's here anymore.
I think he can.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go online, Anna, on 7C, the motion.
Michael Clarmo, it is your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Good morning. Michael Clarmo, Mayor of Dunsmuir. I'm here just to briefly go over this. If you remember, I spoke last week and touched on the employment benefits of hearing this item again, along with the ability, along with how this could potentially get more people into the workforce and get people housed for taking showers. I'm not going to go over that again today since I really touched on it last week. I just wanted to touch on a few more logistical aspects of everything and just how I personally feel about this item. So logistically, yes, the governor did pass that executive order. But as someone who's involved as an elected official, it's going to take time and there's going to be expenses involved in moving camps if that is what the city of Puerto Rico or the county decides to do. I really feel like we need to have a carrot and a stick approach with this. The executive order is obviously the stick. It allows people to be moved, but we also need the carrot. And that would be a program such as the shower trucks, which according to the staff report at least is a demonstrable history of getting people into rehab, getting people employed, and getting people into housing projects. If we're going to be moving people, we also need to give them the opportunity to step up, to be able to pull themselves up, to be able to help themselves. And I feel like if we are moving people and considering that, then we also need to give them the opportunity to be able to help themselves. This is, as I mentioned last week, grant funded. Don't leave money on the table if we don't have to. If people are moved out and the camps are gone, then obviously we won't be spending the money from the grant anyways. I'm just urging you to rehear this item so that way the money from this grant can't be spent while we have it available. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, online.
Elizabeth Giorgino, it is your turn to speak.
Hi there, I apologize. My name's Elizabeth Gregorio. I currently work for a program, I work for a medical office. The name of it is Vinca Care. And we're a medical provider, but we also provide a program through Partnership of California. It's called Enhanced Care Management. And that involves case managers getting to work with majority of the homeless population, providing support and resources that include medical advocating, housing, transportation, mental health, food services. And I have been to the shower van there in Wairika a few times. I've interacted with probably 150 different individuals. I enrolled 41 of those individuals into our program, and we're currently still interacting with 27 of those individuals. We are currently providing them a multitude of services, and we've also been able to provide them phones to use so we can communicate with them. I think you should reconsider reviewing the shower vans and consider providing whatever they need due to the benefits that these individuals would have from the shower van, which include just keeping their hygiene, keeping infection control, disease control, enhancing their chances of engaging with society, overcoming barriers to employment, letting them allow themselves to seek the assistance that's available to them at these shower vans. There's so many benefits that would come from this, even just having the clothing option of having that washer and dryer to keep their clothing clean is another aspect when you think of it medically and socially. I've worked with the homeless population all throughout California. I've been from the top of California to the bottom of it. I've been involved with several shower vans that you guys have. It's been extremely beneficial. I don't see anything bad with that option. I've seen it everywhere. I've seen it on the medical side and the social side. I just feel like it would be extremely, I know the population is much lower than these bigger cities, the homeless population, but the best part of it is getting them to interact and use the services that could be provided to them. And in order to do that, they have to feel comfortable. And a shower and clean clothing is a big piece. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Collier Azari, it's your turn to speak.
Thank you. My name is Collier Azari. I'm with Nation's Finest out of Reading. We serve both Success County, but also Siskiyou County. For them, some of you over here last time when I spoke, I'm also formerly a homeless veteran myself. And when I was invited to first come to this event to bring Nation's Finest Services up for homeless veterans, I immediately started seeing the effects of it and the positives that it brings to your community. I was able to connect over the period of months that I was coming up with 11 veterans that Nation's Finest did not even know were out there. We're still working with them. It has become harder to work with a number of them due to the fact that this event has not been happening. Because a number of them, for whatever reasons, they don't have their phones. And it seems easy enough to get, something like an Obama phone, as we call it. But, if you don't have the right documentation, that delays things. So this event has been a way I could come up and they'd know I would be arriving and I could still, we'd have a planned meetup, and it worked. I'd also just like to encourage you to really take this up for reconsideration, just because these people are part of your community. And as someone who's formerly homeless myself, I wish that I'd had something like this where I was. I didn't. I've seen the difficulties that some of your other county staff members have shared now reconnecting with some of with the homeless after this event stopped when I'm on the coordinated entry meetings for Siskiyou County. And people that were at one point willing to be more forthcoming with information now feel like they're not so sure they can trust that in those individuals anymore. And I think that's important to look at. So I do definitely encourage the Board of Supervisors to please reconsider this motion and give this part of your community the chance to be a part of your community again. I think it's a wonderful resource that is grant funded. It's, to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
Showing no others online.
Okay. I think they just talked, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're done online. Anyone else in-house? Okay. So as I said last week, out of fairness to Supervisor Cogren, that she was absent, that I would have a no vote, and that I would bring this back for reconsideration. So that would be my motion. And anyone can second, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Okay, Supervisor Help.
All right.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Cobson.
Aye.